Coming to Eretz Yisrael to be in yeshiva. Parshas Emor, Parshas Vayero, American elections, Hanukkah. It's a big tzad hashava between all of them. So someone wanted me to talk about Hanukkah, someone wanted to talk about Donald Trump, someone wanted to talk about Vayero. So we'll talk more about all of them together. There are many interesting figures in Chumash. One of the most interesting figures is Hagar. Hagar, we know a little bit about her from the Chumash. Chazal tell us more about her. She's Bas Paro, daughter of Paro. And when Avram left Mitzrayim, Paro was so overwhelmed with what had happened that he gave his daughter to Avraham Avinu to be his shivcha. Shivcha mitzvahs. Ushma Hagar. Avraham Avinu marries her once. She runs away. It's Paris Lechacha. Marries her a second time, but then throws her out of the house finally with Yishmael. Then, when at the end of Parshas Chayesara, after serving Menu dies, we find Vayosef Avraham Vayikach Isha Shmo Keturah. Keturah. Who's Keturah? Is there Hagar? Hagar. Why is she called Keturah? Shenoi Mahaseho Kiktoris. She was a tzadekis. Her mice and tovim were as sweet smelling as Keturis. And she kosher pischa. Shon nizdavgo lo odu meyom shepor shemei Avram. And having lived once with Avram, she knew she could not live with any other man because no one else would be on that madrig. She was Maki, the godless Avram. She was a tzadekis. Chazal tell us that after Sari Menu died and Yitzchak married Rivka, he went out to find Hagar to bring her back. And because the only other woman who would be shayach to marry Avraham Avinu was Hagar. Now, a woman in such a madrega, let's look what happened. She had Avraham Avinu had eight children. One from Hagar, Yishmael. One from Sarai Menu Yitzchak, and six from Keturah. Only one ended up on the proper derech. So you can blame Hagar, but she's such a tzadekis. What went wrong? Something went wrong. And what's interesting is that whenever we talk about her, we say, Shivcha mitzvah, she's a mitzvah. When Avraham Avinu sends her away, Ki lo yirash ben ha'ama azos im b'niyim Yitzchak, and Vayesh Vayosh b'min b'aparim v'atikach lo imo isha me'eretz Mitzrayim. So Rashi says, M'mokom gidulaho shenema v'lo shivcho mitzvus. I knew the army in she's drug chutrula avira aikrikoi. You throw a stick, it lands on its head. She went back to her roots. And here is the key. It's a very interesting Rambam in Perish Mishnayos. When he's talking about the halacha, that Geshen is Gaia Kikotin Shinol Adomi. Why is it that a ger, when after his gerus, has no family kesher al pidin with anything that happened before? His father's not his father, his mother's not his mother, his brother's not his brother, his sister's not his sister, his son's not his son, nothing. And Rambam says, Ki adas hu amafrid. The difference between a Jew and a non-Jew is so deep and so great that there can't be a real kesher between the two. Family kesher is a real bond. But the depth of what it means to be Koresh Bris with HaKadosh Baruch Hu means you can only have a genuine bond with somebody else's Koresh Bris, who's a Ben Bris. And the moment he's Mizgaya, and his whole identity changes, and his whole being a Jew changes, he can't have a real kesher. You can have a formal kesher. The halach is a ger has to have kibbutz avim. All sorts of halachas about it, how he has to treat with derech eretz and everything. But that kesher between a parent and a child, between siblings, if you're a Jew, you're a Jew. It's very deep. We find that when in Rus, what is it that happened when Rus and Orpah? Rus and Orpah were two daughters of Eglon Melech Moav. Eglon Melech Moav was a big Baal Madrega. Chazal tell us he stood up when he heard the Shem Hashem. Had two daughters, and they wanted to go with Naomi back to Eretz Yisrael. And Naomi said, listen, you have no future with me in Eretz Yisrael. After all, I don't have any children, people look down on you. There's no, it's not practical. And Orpah went back to the royal palace. And what does Rus HaMoavia say? Amechami, Ashetamusi Omus, Lokayech Lokoi. I don't have a kesher to that house anymore. The moment I became Jewish and I was Mizgaya, I cut off that kesher. I don't belong. Shuvi, go back to your house. Go back to your parents. Orpah said, yes, I have parents. I have a wonderful home. It's a royal home. And there's no future in Israel. I have to worry about my future. She had an incredible son, Golias. Son, descendant. And what does Rus HaMoavia say? I don't have a kesher with that anymore. The moment I'm in Mizgaya, there's no home to go back to. I severed entirely my kesher. And if it means I have to go back to Eretz Yisrael and pick up leket, shikach, and peyah just to put food in my mouth, I'll go back. Because the most fundamental thing about my identity is my being Jewish. My bris with HaKadosh Baruch. Hagar never completely separated herself. She was always a Shivcha Mitzvah. There was something about her that she still psychologically retained that kesher to Mitzrayim. She could have been a tzaddikus, a balas madrega, but she maintained that kesher to Mitzrayim, even living in Avraham Avinu's house. And when it came time to find a wife for Yishmael, she went back to where her roots were. She still felt those roots. And because she felt those roots, she couldn't give over to her children what happened last week to Avraham Avinu. Avraham Avinu discovered HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And at one point, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Lech Lecha, cut your roots. Cut. You're a whole different person. And in order to be a whole different person, you have to cut those roots. That's a difference. When Avraham Avinu needed a wife for Yitzchok, when Yitzchok needed a wife and Rivka Imenu needed a wife for Yaakov Avinu, where did they go? Back to that house. There was something special about that house. Even though Avraham Avinu had to cut his roots, but still there was something special there. But at the end of the day, Avraham Avinu to be an Avraham Avinu, and a Sori Imenu to be a Sori Imenu, had to cut any cash in order to bring up a Yitzchok. And that's a very important thing. The story of Hanukkah. It's a tragic story. The story of Hanukkah is a very tragic story, especially when you understand it in terms of a lot of things the Medrash has to say. There was an unusual phenomenon. The story of Alexander the Great. And the Psukim of Daniel talk extensively about Alexander the Great. It's an Ayil Menageach, a wild Ayil, wild ram that's going, destroying everything in its path. It's Ayil Menageach. And when Chazal saw a phenomena as Alexander the Great, it was a few years. This young man conquered the world and took over the world and changed the world. When Chazal saw history, said, so why did that thing happen? Why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu arrange it and talk about this Ayil Menageach in Daniel? And they answer very interesting. That after Churban Bayis Rishon, Klal Yisrael came back to Eretz Yisrael. So, the Anshei Knesset HaGdola were very nervous. They understood the problems in Bayis Rishon had been because of Avodah Zarah, which had led to Gilui Arayos and Shivchas Domin, but everything started with Avodah Zarah. The ten Shvatim had left, become totally assimilated because of Avodah Zarah. And now they're coming back, and maybe Chas V'Shalom, there'll be Avodah Zarah all over again, just 70 years. The Anshei Knesset HaGdola davened for two things. They davened that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should shecht the Yetzirah of Avodah Zarah. We don't understand what this Yetzirah was completely, but those of you who learned Gemara Chulin know there was a man called Achav, married to Yizevel, the examples of Ovdei Avodah Zarah, and the Gemara, the Rashi says, they're not choshen any other Avera. So he had a very interesting phenomenon. They were Nizer and Kashrus, completely Nizer and everything. They just... Ovdei Avodah Zarah. It's the Gemara we all just saw in Chulin. So, HaKadosh Baruch Hu shechted, there's a whole story. Shechted the Yetzirah of Avodah Zarah. And then they daven for a second thing. Because in the second Beis Hamikdash, there wasn't the same level of Ruach HaKodesh there was in the first. They daven that they will not build the Beis Hamikdash until HaKadosh Baruch Hu's megalit to them all the yesodis of Torah Shabbat Peh. Because in Bayis Rishon, they were capable of connecting to HaKadosh Baruch Hu through the Ruach HaKodesh that there was in Nevuah, Ruach HaKodesh there was in the Beis Hamikdash, and since that was diminished, there was no longer Nevuah, there was no longer the same Ruach HaKodesh in the Beis Hamikdash, there's only one way to connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's through the Torah Shabbat Peh. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Megala the Torah Shabbat Peh to them, all the Yesodis, and there was a total explosion of Limud of Torah Shabbat Peh by Hashem. That's what we find. And without the Eitz Arva Avodah Zarah, with the explosion of Torah Shabbat Peh, the Medrash says, the time came for Klal Yisrael and Bayis Sheni to be the example to the world of belief in HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the Amitas HaTorah, the truth of the Torah. But that was, and they could shine that out to the entire world. Unbelievable. And then Mashiach could come. But the Umos Olam was so entrenched in the Aveda Zorah, how do we dislodge them from the Aveda Zorah? So Kadosh Baruch Hu's plan was as follows. It's in the Medrash. Greeks, their philosophy, had a whole different approach to the world. First is Socrates, and there's Plato, then there's Aristotle. And Aristotle had a Talmud Muvik called Alexander the Great. Alexander the Great swept through the world. It's 3.5 years, I forget exactly. And he brought Greek culture to the world. The purpose of Greek culture was to cause the crumbling of all the Avodah Zarahs, which it did. And then Klal Yisrael with pure Torah would shine forth to the world, and the world would recognize the Amitas HaTorah. That was the plan. But, like all plans of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he arranges things. It depends on our Bechira Chavshis to put that plan into effect. So what happens? In a Hanami, Alexander sweeps. And if you look at the world today, Alexander got into a certain place in India. India is, the western part of India is Muslim. The other part is the old Avodah Zarahs. And from that place where Alexander got, and further east, you still have all the old Avodah Zarahs of the world. And from where until where Alexander got, they're Muslims, they're Christians, etc. But that was an Nisayon. An Nisayon was for Klal Yisrael to understand the Amitas HaTorah and to be able to see through the sheker of Greek culture. Alexander the Great himself, the Gemara tells us, when he met Shimon HaTzadik, he was overwhelmed with Shimon HaTzadik. Even as the Talmud of Aristotle, when he met Shimon HaTzadik, he recognized it was a separate madrig of human being. But Klal Yisrael have a problem, and a serious problem. And that's the problem people have in the Golus called Zman HaGolus, is understanding in a deep enough way the uniqueness of Torah, the specialness of Torah, and once you become a Ben Torah, Torah is your Metzias, you can't really have a connection to any other culture in this world. The Amitas HaTorah is so overwhelming and so unique and so special that it separates us from everything. And that if you look at what the Torah has to say and what Greek culture has to say, or 150 years ago when the Jews were in Russia and they began the Russian culture, or Polish culture, or German culture, whatever culture. Torah is just beyond, way beyond that. But Klal Yisrael, had they held on to the purity of Torah, as all the Avodah Zarahs of the world collapsed, their message would have shined through in a pure way. That's not what happened. Klal Yisrael failed that test. They began to adapt to Greek culture, and the message got corrupted. It's true, in the ancient world, 2,000 years ago, the different estimates, at least 10%, maybe 20% of the non-Jewish world was a certain in-between. They got rid of the old Avodah Zarahs that had collapsed because of Greek philosophy, and they were attracted to Yiddishkeit but couldn't quite make the move to Yiddishkeit because Klal Yisrael, if their message is diluted, they can't expect the recipient of that message to be anything else but diluted. Famous Vart, why is it that Noach for 120 years tried to make turn people tshuva and didn't make a single ball tshuva? Noach was, as Rashi says, Nebuchadnezzar was a mamon v'yeinu mamon. Yeah, most probably there's going to be a marble, but who really knows? If that's the way they approach, you're not going to influence anyone. Doesn't work. And Klal Yisrael were projecting a message, an incomplete message. And that was their fault. And therefore, when Christianity came in, what did Christianity find? People who lost the old Avodah Zarahs, who were attracted to the idea of monotheism, of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the Torah, but couldn't take the full message, so took a corrupted message. The Rambam writes, it was a bridge religion. That someday, when people, the idea of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the Torah will spread through the world, it'll be a familiar idea. And there are two bridge religions, Christianity and Islam. But that's true of Jews in every culture. What it means to be a Ben Torah is to understand that my identity, who I am, what I'm all about, comes from Torah. And the moment you connect to Torah, that cuts off, really, in a deep sense, connection to other things. Hagar, a tzaddikah she was, understood the madrega of Avraham Avinu, but couldn't bring herself to do what Ruth HaMoaviah did. Ruth HaMoaviah came from a royal home, Eglon Melech Moav. Hagar came from, was a Baspara. But Hagar mentally still felt that connection to Mitzrayim. Ruth said, no. Amech ami elokayach lokoi bashatamusi. Omos v'shom makavo bashatolini olin. Whatever it is, I have no kesher there. And that's the problem in general. Jews, when they find themselves, from Jews, when they find themselves in different cultures. Who are you? What are you? Two hundred years ago, there was another king who for a few years spread his message throughout the world. It was Napoleon. It was a big machlekes between the Gdolei Yisrael, what an attitude to Napoleon should be. After all, he's promising equal opportunity to Jews. We wanted to make a Sanhedrin, I feel, but equal opportunity to Jews. Isn't that wonderful? Jews won't be downtrodden anymore. They won't be discriminated against anymore. And there were Gdolei Yisrael who were very taken by that. And there were Gdolei Yisrael who fought him. In the end, part of Napoleon's undoing, there was one man who really was heavily responsible for his defeat. That was the Balatanya. What did Napoleon... Napoleon invaded Russia. And when Napoleon invaded Russia, his idea was that what's going to be during the winter? Where is the soldiers going to stay? And he said, listen, he's promising freedom to all the Jews. The Jews will embrace him. His soldiers will stay in the Jewish homes. And they'll have a warm winter. They'll be able to eat. And it's wonderful. But Russia was Chabad. And the Balatanya said absolutely no. Why? On the one hand, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave an opportunity for the Jews to be free. But it depended on their Bechira Chofshis, what they're going to do with that freedom. Balatanya decided that the freedom was too dangerous and it was going to lead to all the assimilation that in fact it did. And because that was one of the main reasons Napoleon's army got destroyed in the Russian winter. What happened as a result of Napoleon? Balatanya was right. Those areas that offered equal opportunity to Jews. So, maintain your Yiddishkeit, be part of society, show what an elevated life could be. And just show the Amitas HaTorah is. You're not going to downtrodden anymore, equal opportunity, but show what Torah is to the world. Don't pick up Russian culture, German culture, or Polish culture, or French culture, German culture, whatever. There's a Torah in this world. And Nebuch, the 19th century, Western Europe that had been totally liberated as a result of Napoleon, Jews didn't hold on. They couldn't say yes, but we have the Torah. That is a major nesayon people have when they're part of different cultures. And we obviously looking at American situation, it's a weird situation. When the thing first began, thinking of a Maimah Chazal. Chazal tell us, why is it that Mordechai told Esther not to tell anybody that she's Jewish? Shelo yomru achos yesh lonu bebeis hamelech. The Jews shouldn't think, we don't have to daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we have the inside in the royal, in Achashverosh's palace. They should know, there's no inside. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is running the world. Very strange phenomenon. That how to react. It's in the sign. And that Nisayan is, it's very nice, the one who'll be the major influence in the White House, a so-called Shomer Shabbos, with all the interesting things that'll happen. But with all the glamour of Beis Paro, what undid Hagar was one thing. She couldn't sever herself from Beis Paro. What undid Orpah, why she couldn't sever herself from Beis Eglon Melech Moav. And why Ruth HaMoavia was Zocha to be the Imer Shel Malchus, the one who produced the David HaMelech, from who comes the Melech HaMashiach, she knew we're different. We're different people. And people with all the glamour and the glitter of having of the so-called Orthodox Jewish influence in the White House, remember, we're different. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu did a very interesting thing. The man who's reminding us we're different, probably the most vulgar, coarse individual you can imagine, you have a different way of life, a very different way of life. And don't think, people say, Kiddush Hashem. No. Kiddush Hashem means Rambam and the Perikei, Hilchus. So that Torah defines what a Kiddush Hashem. Serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu in a pure and honest way. It's a Kiddush Hashem. Chil Hashem is trampling on HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Torah. When Jews meet all the cultures, whether it's all the time, long ago, it was Greek culture. Whether even before that, Avraham Avinu was his Shivcha Mitzvahs. Or it is Rusa Moavio and Orpa. Whether it's a time of Napoleon. It's a very dangerous time. Because Jews have an ability to lose focus and to lose balance. Without appreciating, understanding what it means, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us a Torah. He made us an Am Segula. Mamlechas Kohanim v'goy kadosh l'sitcha elyon al kol ha'goyim asha osu l'tehil l'shem u'teferes. By holding on to the Torah, we become that superior people. It's the only thing that makes us superior. It's not having a place in the White House or in Napoleon's palace or anywhere else. And in each generation, there's a different Nisayon. Each generation is a different Nisayon. But that Nisayon is the pride in Torah. Torah is Emes. Torah is our connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to the Melech Malchem Lochem, and that totally negates any chashivas to anything else. As the Rambam says, Hadas Hu Amashrit. The moment a person is a ben bris and he's kiryas bris and has a connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the Torah, that separates him from the rest of the world. And that is, in different, each generation, it's a different Nosai. And the failure of people not to get that message, and the victory of Hanukkah. The Menorah is the Chochmas HaTorah. And there were a small group of people. We say they were Ma'atim, they were Chaloshim, but they were Tahirim and Oskei Tarasel. Kadosh Baruch Hu gave them the ability to win over the most powerful armies because they were holding on to the Amitas HaTorah. And to conquer, and the pure Torah conquered all of Greek culture. And that's true. In every situation, it's the purity of Torah that enables us to win, to be a superior nation, and to continue. And that, keeping that in mind and keeping that in focus, you can have a woman Hagar. Was zeichet to be Avram Avinu's wife. She was zeich, she was a tzadekis, no amatzer ke kateris. And Yitro Avinu thought in the entire world there's only one person who could be a proper wife after his mother, for his father Avram Avinu. It's Hagar. But because she didn't appreciate it enough, of her seven children, Namu Mamshech Avram Avinu's Derech. And that's a very powerful lesson to all of us, exactly what it means to be a Ben Torah in an open society as we live in, and even in a time that you have the President of the United States having probably the most powerful advisor he have to Shemesh Shabbos and so-called Orthodox Jews. Still, what makes something choshev is Torah. Not all that connection to the glamour, to the glitter, glamour and the glitter of political position and power, just as it didn't mean anything in history to Hagar, it didn't mean anything in history throughout, whether it's Moav, times of the Chashmonaim, times of Napoleon. The Hemshech of Yiddishkeit is by holding on to the purity of Torah in the midst of all of this and realizing Torah itself is so much more choshev and so much superior because it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Torah and He's the Melech Malchim Lo Kadosh Baruch Hu, and we connect to Him through the Torah.